The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Gainwell, same thing. Bridge free. Steffar scores, standing up, and Memphis answers. The dynamic freshman.
Back here on the Hurry Up Hot Seat Countdown, and we have turned to number 22. It is the Memphis Tigers, and it is time to call to the floor. David Cobb, once again, checking in on the Hurry Up Hot Seat. David, the Memphis Tigers have a new head coach as Ryan Silverfield comes in and takes over for Mike Norvell. That kind of decision, I think, represents both what that staff has been able to build, the revitalization of that Memphis program. You know, we've got a ninth-year college football quarterback, Brady White, is going to be back again. We know that Kenneth Gainwell had a big breakout. Now, is your confidence with Memphis that even losing Mike Norvell, the work that was done, suggests that they're going to be able to maintain that sort of New Year's Six contention status in the big college football world?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's another 10-win team. I think that the fact that they promoted from within and Coach Silverfield, I think, is, in retrospect, a tremendously smart move. Obviously, they didn't do so knowing there was going to be a pandemic. But the fact is, you don't want to have to be breaking in new systems and new culture and dealing with the roster turnover that an outside hire would bring right now. And Silverfield was a popular choice among the players, among the alums. And yes, Norvell took a good chunk of the staff with him to Florida State, but that continuity is going to benefit them greatly. And I mean, the AAC is actually, I think, going to be pretty tough this year, but man, Memphis brings a lot back. I mean, they bring back a quarterback who threw for 4,000 yards in Brady White. And you already mentioned Gainwell, their top receiver is back. You know, they lose some of their secondary playmakers, but yes, this is a team, I think, that is deservedly in our preseason top 25.
So if we're talking about Memphis in our preseason top 25, they're a group of five team. Obviously, there can't be many slip-ups on their schedule. So what is the expectation? Like, when you talk about them in this ranking, are you expecting an 11-1 kind of year? Is 12-0 in the cards? Is 9-3 totally unacceptable? What are your level of expectations for this Memphis team, given what it has coming back?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, I live in Memphis, so I understand a little bit of the expectations here, I guess. And I don't think 9 wins would necessarily be a disappointment, but the potential is there for it to be another 10 or 11 win season. And people forget they finished 12-2 last year. They went 12-1 in the regular season before losing to Penn State in the bowl game. And they really could have been, and probably should have been, undefeated last season, if not for a really controversial call on the road at Temple that it was a bad call. I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, the tight end lays out, makes a great play. They go to the monitor and they overturn it. And I've yet to see an angle that suggests it should have been overturned. It should have been a catch, and they should have continued a march down the field to score. And if they get a touchdown there in that game, they go undefeated. So, I mean, this is a team that was just right on the cusp of doing that. And, you know, I think they bring the talent back to do it again. I mean, like I said, though, the AAC is going to be tough. I mean, there were five teams in that league last year that that finish with 10 wins or more. So, yes, Memphis has the talent to win 10, 11, you know, maybe even 12 games. It's just it's not going to be easy. I mean, UCF, Cincinnati, Navy, SMU even, all good teams that they're going to have to get through.
Do you expect the offense schematically to mostly keep things from what we've come to expect from at least last year's team with so many of the key personnel? Like, okay, you mentioned DeMonte Coxey's coming back. You lose Patrick Taylor, but again, with Gainwell still being there, I look at the, you know, like the depth chart on paper, and I would think that maybe they're going to keep everything together. Is there anything from inside the program to suggest that either the schematics or even the production should stray from what we saw a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can expect a little bit of schematic variance just based on the fact that Mike Norvell was so involved in the play calling. I mean, he's an offensive coach. I think that's why he got the job at Florida State. And so I think there's going to be some differences. I mean, Kevin Johns is back. It's his second year as, you know, technically as the offensive coordinator. But it'll be interesting to see who takes the play calling duties, because Silverfield's background is on the offensive side of the ball as well. So yeah, I think there will be some differences. What those are, I don't know. I mean, that's where we could have used spring practice to sort of try to glean some more insight from what sort of changes they might try and make. But, you know, I mean, they've got some down the field threats and Coxey and Calvin Austin is back. I think he's a slot guy, a shifty player. He's like 5'9". I think they're going to try and get the ball in his hand. So I don't think it'll look drastically different, but I think you can expect Silverfield and Johns to kind of put their own spin on, you know, what Norvell was doing when he was calling the plays last year.
What am I to make of Mike McIntyre as the new defensive coordinator? He did some good work at Ole Miss last year. Prior to that, his last defensive coordinator stint was like
Duke,
yeah, in like the mid-2000s, I think, or maybe late 2000s. Is this going – because, look, defense hasn't exactly been the calling card of Memphis. Is this going to be a push? Is this going to be an upgrade? I mean, Adam Fuller is now he might not have been much of a name prior to last year at Memphis, but he put together some good defenses at Marshall, and he's currently the defensive coordinator at Florida State. You know, like that's – he was good enough for Mike Norvell to want to bring with him. So do you see this as being a net positive, a push? Where does the Mike McIntyre effect come into this?
Yeah, I think it's a great hire. I mean, the fact is he did a really good job at Ole Miss. And, you know, had Matt Luke been retained at Ole Miss, I mean, it would have been a no-brainer to bring McIntyre back, given the improvements that the Ole Miss defense had last season. So Memphis sort of benefits from the transition at Ole Miss, because McIntyre's on the market. They get him. And not only the defensive acumen, obviously, like, you know, that's nice for a program like Memphis to get somebody who's done it at the major conference level pretty recently. But the head coaching experience, I mean, he won 10 games at Colorado just a few years ago, and he's going to be coming onto a staff under Silverfield, who's never been a head coach before. And so I think that McIntyre's voice and his experience will be critical for this staff, because, you know, Silverfield's the guy in charge, but you want that second voice, that second opinion. And I think McIntyre should be able to provide that. And I think the defense will be a lot better. He's got a lot to work with. There's 8 starters back by my calculation on that defense. And they weren't very good against the run last season, but I think they'll be better with McIntyre at the helm.
How the last year you mentioned the Penn State game, and certainly that was one of the games where the defense, especially against the run, won fantastic. This, they were able to win a lot of high scoring games. You know, where do you see Memphis if on one side the first challenge for the Memphis program is to become one of the top tier among the group of five? I believe that they've done that. Do you think, especially being there close, How big of the gap do you think it is before we're talking about Memphis like a top 25 team every year? Like, if the path is a Boise State, you know, where you're at the top of your group and then you're just sort of everybody's penciling you in to the top 25, just almost not even thinking about it. I don't think Memphis is working on that status yet. How far do you think they are from being one of those teams and one of those programs that we consider not just within this, you know, small 3-4-5 season era, but really in a bigger picture that we acknowledge as one of the top programs at the Group of Five level?
Yeah, I think it'll take an increase in their recruiting acumen, because Norvell had some really good luck with JUCO guys and with transfers, and you know, that can backfire if you get too reliant upon that well for talent. And they, for the AAC, they've recruited fine. I mean, they're in the top third. Their last several classes are in the AAC, but. If they're going to take that Boise path, I mean, they need to start getting some four-star guys to campus. And the good news is that they're in a region of the country that produces plenty of those types of players. The bad news is that the competition is incredibly stiff, because you have about seven SEC schools within a 3.5-hour drive, roughly. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think Silverfield is going to be critical that he continue to pick and choose the spots wisely from the JUCO ranks. And not get too reliant on that. That was something that Mike Norvell did a really good job of walking that line and hit on a lot of those guys. And, you know, but I think the next step towards maybe taking that leap that you're talking about, Chip, is to get a couple of four-star guys, get a couple of guys that are considering Arkansas or Ole Miss or Mississippi State to commit to Memphis and come to Memphis and ball out at Memphis. And I think if Silverfield can get that to start to happen, yeah, then all of a sudden this is not just a window. This is something that's sustained.
He is David Cobb, and you have been relieved from the Hurry Up Hot Seat. Thank you very much. His story on the Memphis Tigers is available on CBSSports.com. Go and check it out. David, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.